Welcome to Hiba is Writing, a podcast chronicling my journey as an independent author, writing to my heart's content. You're listening to season two, and this season is all about my current high fantasy novel in progress, The Pirates of Cissa. The story follows two people on opposite sides of a decades-long violent conflict who are forced to work together to usher in an era of peace. Welcome back. I hope these past weeks have been treating you well. I know that it's been a long time since I last uploaded an episode, and I hope that all of my listeners have been doing great since last I was able to speak to you. To give you an idea of what I've been up to, I have just successfully completed my studies and finished my murder mystery manuscript, which I've been working on for a very long time. This year I decided to put my foot down and get it done, and it definitely helped that I had a deadline for this manuscript, so that was very cool. I was able to even get a couple of readers to look at it and give me feedback, which helped a lot. It helped immensely. And now I am back once again to share some more fun facts, world building, and writing lessons that I have learned on my writing journey. Last time on this podcast, I told you all about Sorinids, a type of creature in my high fantasy novel, The Pirates of Cissa. At least, I told you as much as I could about them without giving away some tidbits that I think you'll enjoy best when you learn about them in the book itself. This time around, I want to talk about the other fantasy species living in the Black Desert that I'm very excited about and I'm very proud of in terms of the amount of detail and work that went into these particularly nasty animals. These are the Kahlakrabs, which I introduced earlier on in episode 3 as deadly predators that look like a cross between a spider, a lobster, and a scorpion, only they're as big as a cow or a horse, and in some cases even bigger. So they're very scary creatures. I also mentioned that the extinction of the desert gazelle, which was really the only animal capable of killing the Kahlakrab because of its ability to penetrate its otherwise impenetrable exoskeleton, was all thanks to the humans who extensively hunted them, who saw their horns, delicious meat, and their gorgeous skins as a profitable opportunity and didn't pay any heed to the harm they were doing to the fragile ecosystem that they were tampering with. And while the legendary King Ustura tried to set things right by urging many hunters to hunt Kahlakrabs in return for great monetary sums, his struggle ultimately ended in disaster. You can learn more about his story and how his kingdom fell mysteriously and suddenly at the height of this hunting spree by reading my short story, The Legend of the 5,000 Shells, which has recently been revamped and is finally available once again via my blog. You can check it out in the link in the description of this episode, or if that doesn't work, because some podcast apps apparently don't carry out the links, you can just go to hibaiswriting.blogspot.com and click on the short stories page, and you'll find a list of short stories, one of which is The Legend of the 5,000 Shells, which I hope you will enjoy. Alright, back to the main topic in this episode. I want to really get into the creature design concept of the Kahlakrab and what makes them so dangerous. But first, I want to talk about the origins of the Kahlakrab's concept. This creature was first inspired by the Sandwalker, which is a cryptid that apparently originates in Arabian mythology, though I haven't personally heard of any such creature in my lifetime, nor has anyone I've been able to ask about the Sandwalker. I do wonder where the source material for this creature comes from as a result, but nevertheless, it was a cool fantasy creature, if somewhat terrifying, and I knew from the start that I really wanted to do something with it. You'll actually notice that a lot of the creatures that I mention in my fantasy novels are going to come from legendary or mythological creatures, usually from Arabian or Islamic stories. It's one of the ways that I would like to represent my culture in my writing. So I decided to adapt the Sandwalker for my book by using it as a basis for the creation of the monsters called Kahlakrabs in my fantasy world. The sources I found online about Sandwalkers were very limited, and mostly refer to one entry in a book that I've never seen. All I had to go with was what it apparently looks like from an illustration and what it eats. But that led me down a rabbit hole in my mind. I found myself considering whether the myth might have originated from the sighting of a fossil left over from the Cretaceous period, where I believe that particular area was submerged underwater. If I've done my research right, anyway. I've conducted a little bit of research online and found that some prehistoric creatures, which I had no idea existed, this was my first time ever hearing about them, actually did live there. So creatures whose fossilized remains might actually give someone cause to think there was some kind of giant shelled monster roaming the desert. And they most definitely gave me some cool ideas for the Kahlakrabs in my books, especially in terms of anatomy. So that's a little bit of a fun fact for you there. I also considered that the desert has a lot of scorpions, and they're nasty creatures that you really need to look out for when you're out there, so it also just stands to reason that many desert travelers would be terrified of the idea of giant scorpion-like creatures. So this too might have given rise to the idea of the Sandwalker as more of a scary story, a scary tale, rather than anything else. From there, I took things several steps further and got into the nitty-gritty details of how the monsters in my book, the Kahlakrabs, are born, how they live, what they eat, how they hunt, how they look, and so much more, making my final Kahlakrab concept very different, in my opinion, and very unique when compared to what was available online about this Sandwalker creature. I really enjoyed figuring out their behavior as animals, their reproductive processes, their habits and routines, and so on and so forth. And it's actually a lot of fun to compile all of this different information that you can find online about a variety of real-world creatures and use them to imagine something else completely. I called my monsters Kahlakrabs. The name Kahlakrab is one that I came up with, and that I'm very proud of, despite how difficult it might be to pronounce for some folks. It originates from the Arabic words for black and scorpion, which I have put together to name this creature since I didn't want to use the term Sandwalker given how different my creature turned out to be when compared to the Sandwalker that I had read about online. Moreover, if I'm being quite honest, I wanted to use as much Arabic language influence in naming places, creatures, and people as I possibly could in order to once again represent my background and culture within my writing. I've always loved the Arabic language, and this serves as a way for me to get to use it and share it even with an English reading audience. So, that was how the original conceptualization and evolution of the Kahlakrab came along. Without further ado, let us now get into some of the interesting facts about Kahlakrabs. The Kahlakrab is truly a nightmarish beast, and with its hard, dark exoskeleton, it is able to camouflage itself into the desert sand, fusing with the black landscape until an unsuspecting victim stumbles upon it. Here's an excerpt from an encyclopedia written by renowned Belvatrian adventurer and writer, Athor the Wanderer. Quote, "A Kahlakrab can grow almost five times the size of a human. Its stinger is about as large as a human head and extremely venomous and sharp. Its front pincers are large enough to enclose around its victim's body and have enough strength to completely crush them or split them apart in only a few seconds." End quote. Let's talk a bit about how it hunts and what it eats. The Kahlakrab hunts big game in the Black Desert, namely horses and camels, and its favorite food is now long extinct, the desert gazelle. On occasion, however, if food is scarce, it will also eat humans or resort to cannibalism, eating other Kahlakrabs. As you can probably tell by now, the Kahlakrab is easily the deadliest animal in the Black Desert, and what little we know about them, we know through extremely rare cases of experimentation and observation, historical records and myth, and theories posited by renowned scientists throughout my fantasy world. Some have argued that the Kahal Aqrabs are naturally cannibalistic as a result of their unparalleled station as top predators in the Black Desert, a way to self-control the population, so to speak. But this has not been proven. Finally, for this episode, before I wrap things up, I do want to note, while it is very difficult to kill the Kahal Aqrab, it's not entirely impossible. There are chinks in its armor, a weak spot here and there that can be taken advantage of. You can imagine it takes great skill and luck to take advantage of those weak spots with your sword. However, even if killed, the Kahal Aqrab could still be deadly. As the great Athor the Wanderer explains in his book, quote, "The venom held in their stingers is only a concentrated version of the venom that pulses through their veins, seeping into their muscles. The meat of a Kahal Aqrab is therefore deadly to eat, even when cooked, and if ingested, will result in almost immediate death." End quote. So I have done a lot of other world building for this creature and have most definitely refined it over time and probably will do some more as time goes on prior to publishing this book. I've discussed how this creature reproduces, the kinds of rare genetic mutations it might have, and lots more. I might follow up this episode in future with more on these terrifying creatures, but I think that's enough to digest for now. If you have any questions about the Pirates of Sissa or my writing in general, or if you want to request episodes about certain aspects of the Pirates of Sissa you'd like to know more about, please don't hesitate to drop by my social media and let me know there. Thanks so much for tuning in for today's episode. I'm glad that I am finally back and speaking to you once more. Until next time.